It's Christmas season. I am so excited about this next month. Every year, this is my favorite season of the year. Whether it is the worship that we experience on Sundays, the choir musical that we hear tonight, all the way up to our wonderful celebration of Christmas Eve, which to me is the most reverent service that we share together as a congregation. And I'm glad we're going to be there. How do you know when the Christmas season has arrived? Well, one way you can find out is look at your calendar and you recognize today is December the 7th. It is time to move in to the Christmas season in a special way. You can count the shopping days that are left. And if I were wise, I would stop right now and calculate it, but I just don't want to. But I know it's about 17 days before you're through buying for Christmas this year. You can calculate how many Christmas movies are still scheduled before the Christmas day comes. Or you can take advantage of all of your senses. That's what I'm going to challenge you to do this year as we celebrate Christmas together. I want us to remember that Christmas is a celebration for the senses. Lights and decorations are everywhere. There's fudge and cookies and special dishes that are only available this time of year. There's the aroma of cedar and spiced tea and scented candles all in the air. And then there are the sounds of Christmas. I was just standing there a moment ago as Jeff was leading our last carol, All Is Well, and I thought, that is one of my favorite Christmas songs. But then I feel that way about all of them, to be honest with you. I like Christmas. I can't wait till tonight when we'll be blessed by our choir and our orchestra. I have Christmas stations preset on my car radio, favorite albums in my Spotify library. Like you, I'm going to be enjoying all of the favorite Christmas songs that we enjoy every year, whether it's saying Silver Bells, it's Christmas time in the city, or Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, which it looks like we might actually see this year. Or I'll be home for Christmas. You know, today is a special day, December the 7th. This is the anniversary of Pearl Harbor Day. This is the day when America entered into a global conflict that would claim the lives of hundreds of thousands of soldiers and civilians. And that's when that song was written. And it was written for lonely soldiers and sailors who were far from home, dreaming about being home with the people they loved. And that sense of nostalgia just continues with us every time we hear that song. Even better, they're the carols that fill our worship every year. Angels we have heard on high, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel. And we will sing and we will listen to the choir and we will be blessed by Pam and by Evie and by the orchestra throughout the month to come. There really is no better place on earth for your ears to be blessed than right here at First Baptist Church as we worship through the season of Christmas. Makes me remember that from the very beginning, the birth of Christ has been God's greatest song to those who have ears to hear, who take time to listen during the Christmas season, who choose not to allow themselves to be distracted by other things and take God's great song for granted. So I want you to listen to the story like it's the very first time. Do you hear what I hear? The Bible tells us that the refrain of Christmas began with a whisper. People heard a soft sound of promise from Isaiah 700 years before Jesus was actually born. It was a whisper that was heard in the darkness because the presence of sin and danger had made the world a very dark place. King Uzziah, the good and godly king who had led Israel throughout 50 years of his lifespan, had passed away. And with him, passed away the sense of security that God's people had. They had always known the king is there, and as long as the king is there, everything is going to be fine. He is wise and he is good and he is strong and we can trust him. But all of a sudden, the king was gone and there was a vacuum, a political and military and spiritual vacuum that covered the nation. And nobody was sure what was going to happen next. They were uncertain. They were afraid. What's the future going to bring? And it seemed as though almost immediately the answer came because the enemy was at the gate. There was fear that they were going to be conquered and carried away. Hope seemed very far away. People had spent some time neglecting the Lord, and now they wondered if the Lord was going to neglect them. Forget about his people. Abandon them in their time of greatest need. And it was through Isaiah that God began to whisper the refrain, a song of promise. He had not forgotten his people. And the Lord began to reveal to Isaiah the first notes of what he was planning for the world. And Isaiah wrote, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And the people heard that refrain, and they said to themselves, "We don't know what this year might bring or next year might bring. We're not sure when God is going to act, but this is what we know. God is going to act, and he is going to redeem his people." And so when they heard that refrain, people would say to one another, "Someday, someday, the Savior will come." And for 700 years, they waited for God to keep his promise. The song was quiet, but it was not gone. There would come the time when God would allow his people to hear the melody of what he had planned. You see, the melody of Christmas was sung to the most unlikely audience. It was offered to a young lady in the village of Nazareth. Her name was Mary. A name that suited her perfectly because it was a simple name for a simple girl who lived in a simple town. There was absolutely nothing special about Mary, at least nothing on the outside. Before the angels came to visit her, before she heard the melody of Christmas, the truth is, you could pass Mary on the streets of her village and you might not even pay attention to her. She was just one more person in a little town, and folks had seen her all of her life, and they didn't see anything special because it wasn't on the outside that it showed. But who she was on the inside, that was a completely different story. On the inside was a young woman of great faith who trusted the Lord and who was willing to do whatever God wanted her to do. She wanted her life to count for the Savior. On the inside was a great desire to be found pleasing by God. On the inside was a heart that was listening carefully for his voice. And that meant when the angel came, when the song was sung, when the melody rang through the earth, Mary was ready to hear what God was saying. She was ready for the melody of salvation, which Gabriel came to share with her. "Hail, O blessed one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Mary heard a promise and she accepted it for what it was. It was a promise that God was about to do something that the world had never seen before. You know, sometimes these days when you hear people talk about that visit that Gabriel made to Mary, you'll hear them say something like this. Well, we understand that people have always believed in the idea of a virgin birth, but the truth is it really doesn't matter. What really matters is that Jesus was born and he was the greatest man who ever lived. And to that I say, with all the spirit of Christmas, hooey. It does matter. It matters more than we can imagine because we recognize this was not a woman who was going to be giving birth to a holy man or a great teacher or a wonderful leader. This was the mother of the very Son of God. You know, you ask the question, how could something like that happen? It never happened before. And the answer would be, that's exactly right. And it's never happened since. But on that night, when the Holy Spirit came upon her, she became the mother of the very Son of God who had come to dwell among us. And that was the song that the angel was sent to sing. A song that said, Hail, O Blessed One. The Lord is with you. And simple Mary had a profound faith which made her the Heavenly Father's choice to be the mother of Christ himself. Mary heard the melody first, but her counterpoint to the angel's message was just as beautiful. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. She heard God's call and responded to his promise with absolute surrender. You know, if Mary heard the Lord's melody, it was Joseph who was chosen to hear the harmony. Joseph was a plain man, just as Mary was a simple woman. He was a good and decent person. The Bible says he was a carpenter and he worked hard to produce sturdy items for practical use. Joseph was the person who spent his days in a world of straight lines and right angles. He was careful to make sure everything fit together just the way he expected it to. He really wasn't open for new things in his life. He had learned this is how the world works, and this is how you make the world work, and this is how you put things together. And when you put things together, they'll turn out the way they always have. Joseph didn't anticipate things like angel visits and heavenly promises. There wasn't a lot of room for the supernatural in his practical world. What Joseph understood on the night that the angel would visit him was that his world had turned upside down. When he heard that the woman he loved and was engaged to was with child, the future he expected seemed to be completely lost forever. But even when all he had planned was coming apart, he continued to live with simple kindness. It's almost impossible for him to believe what Mary had told him about the visit of Gabriel. But he still wanted to spare her any public disgrace. Instead, he resolved to break the engagement quietly and to do his best to pick up the pieces of his life and carry on. Joseph had no inkling that God had already assigned him a place in salvation's song. The harmony to Mary's melody came to him in the night. An angelic vision came in a dream, carrying a message from God Almighty. Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sin. Just as a harmony supports a melody and makes the music richer, the message delivered to Joseph complemented and completed the promise that was given to Mary. To Mary, a king had been promised. To Joseph, God promised a Savior. Together, they were given the song of salvation. The Son of God was coming in human flesh. The King of creation would be born into our world. And He was not coming to rule and to reign. He was coming to seek and to save. God's redeeming love is the true song of Christmas. A song for people who are lost in sin and without hope in a dark and dying world. It's a wonderful thing that Christmas is always counterposed with the story of darkness. The Gospels always talk to us about the darkness that was going on around them. Not just spiritual darkness, but physical darkness, because we remember in the darkness, God's light shines clearly. And these people who had been searching for hundreds of years for some sign of hope began to hear that song of promise that hope was finally coming. A song about a Savior who came to bring the light and to redeem lost people from their sins. And the song echoes through the ages since the coming of Christ. It is the song of God's love and God's desire to save. If God sent a melody to Mary and a harmony to Joseph, Jesus would turn it into a symphony of salvation. It's the song that Christ was sent to share. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But here's the secret. The song of salvation must be personal in everybody's life. Here's the great thing about the song of salvation. The song of salvation is meant for us. But more importantly, it's meant for you and you and you and you and you and me. It is a personal song. You should be grateful that this time of year that you don't ride around with me in my car while my Christmas music is playing through my radio. Because if you were riding around with me in my car at this time of year and you heard that beautiful Christmas music sung by all of my favorite artists, you would also find out this, and I can't listen to it without singing along. And you would have to endure it because there's nothing I can do about it. It's personal. The song of salvation is personal. So you hear that symphony of salvation, for God so loved the world, and you recognize, that's for me. That's for me. It's personal in my heart. It's not enough to overhear it in somebody else's life or to hear it sung through somebody else's voice. It has to be real in you. I've heard the song of salvation in my own heart. And most of you here today have heard that song yourself, and you've responded to the call of Jesus in your life. But what about you? See, it doesn't really matter if everybody else has heard the song of salvation, everybody around you, if you haven't heard it. If you haven't realized that God sent His Son for you, then you have a decision to make. This year, this Christmas, at this time, I'm going to trust Jesus for myself. Not because of what it's done for somebody else, or how I've seen him change someone else's life, but because I need Jesus just for myself. And if that's you this morning, in a minute we're going to stand up and we're going to sing a hymn of invitation, and I'm going to be right here. And if you want to know him, you come forward and I'll introduce you to the one God sent to save. Or maybe you're here and you need to be a part of a church that celebrates the truth of what God did through his Son. And today you just want to become part of this fellowship. Or maybe there's another decision you need to make. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. And as God speaks to your heart, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before.
Let me ask you to be seated again for just a moment. John and Sharon, come and join me here. Many of you have met John and Sharon Farrell because they've been coming for some time here at our church as they've been seeking God's direction and where they wanted to plant their lives in their church. And they today have come bringing their letter from a sister Baptist church here in the area to become part of First Baptist Church and to worship and serve him here. And I'm so excited about that decision. We've had a wonderful time. Judith and I had a great time to visit with them in their home a little while back and had a great time and enjoyed some great soup. And today the Lord has led them here. So if you would like to let them know how excited you are that God's led them to be part of First Baptist, you say amen.
Amen.
And that's the church saying welcome. We're so glad y'all are here. We are looking forward to serving him together with you. And I'm going to ask Judith to help them get back to the lobby where you can greet them and introduce yourself and welcome them to First Baptist Church. They're going to be a great blessing to you, and you're going to be a great blessing to them. It's been a good day in God's house. We really are looking forward to this evening as we enjoy our time together, as our choir is prepared to bless us, and we need to receive that, and it's going to be a special time. So we'll look forward to seeing you here at 6 this evening. Okay. Let's stand together. We'll have our closing prayer and then one last song. Father, we do thank you for the song of Christmas that said God loved us. God had a plan for us. God sent a Savior and a King and gave us the opportunity to trust him and to be part of his kingdom, which is a kingdom of hope and grace and love. Lord, bless us as we go through this Christmas season. Help us, Lord, to keep our ears open so that we can hear you and trust you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.